Today is a simple message called Interrupted Christmas. As we lead up to Christmas, we're all looking forward to Christmas, but things can come along and interrupt our seemingly perfect plans. We have tremendously high expectations of what Christmas might look like. We want everything to be perfect, and there's nothing wrong with that. We have pictures in our minds of children playing, of church choirs singing, and people smiling and getting along. I don't know about you, but I always find that at Christmas time, people just seem nicer, and I love that. There's nothing wrong with that at all. But too often we find, or at times we find, that Christmas doesn't go the way that it's supposed to. It doesn't go the way that we had planned. As the song says, it's the most wonderful time of the year. Or it's the happiest season of all. For many, it will be a very difficult time. Why? Because something will come along that will interrupt the joy of Christmas. It may be sickness, and in this time of pandemic, that's a very real likelihood. It could be relationship breakdown, it could be divorce, it could be loneliness, or even death. Any combination of the above, or a plethora of other things, can come along and interrupt our perfectly planned Christmas. In fact, just a couple of days ago, I had word of a colleague who I know very well, whose father was ill in hospital and was expected to come through and make a full recovery, and suddenly died. And to add to that situation, both he and his wife have just tested positive for COVID, and so weren't able to be there at the last moment. It's a cruel time that we are in, and interruptions come when we least expect them. When we look at the Christmas season, it's supposed to be a time of perfect peace. It's supposed to be a time of harmony and joy. But interruptions come at Christmas as they do any other time of the year. How much more so this year, though, with all that is going on? And even now, some of you watching this are trying to work out how you are going to do Christmas, what it will look like. Of course, Christmas will still come. You can't stop Christmas, but what you're doing is trying to work out what it will look like and how you will make it happen, or do it in this season of pandemic. And maybe it is that your interruption at this Christmas time, in this Christmas season, has come by way of you yourself having just tested positive for COVID, or you've heard that a close family member has tested positive for COVID. And it wasn't any different in that first Christmas. The first Christmas was experienced an interruption, a divine interruption. That interruption, if you can call it that, was Jesus being born and coming and positioning himself at the pivotal point of the whole of human history. Let's have a look what Matthew records as the birth of Jesus. Go with me, if you would, into Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. And it says this: "Now the birth of Jesus the Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, For that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Interruptions, friends, can happen at the best of times. Interruptions can happen at the worst of times. Consider the timing of Joseph and Mary's interruption. They were engaged to be married, and like Christmas, engagements are supposed to be times of happiness, of joy, a wondrous time. But it was during this time that the angel of the Lord appeared to Mary and told her that she would miraculously conceive as a virgin, give birth to a son. More than that, not just a son, but give birth to the Son of God. Wow, what a responsibility. What a message. How does she make a sense of all of that? I'm going to be pregnant and I've not even had a physical relationship with anyone. How can I become pregnant? And more than that, it's not just a pregnancy. I'm going to give birth to the Son of God. Joyful news, yet what an interruption. How would she explain her pregnancy to Joseph? Would he believe her? Would he be willing to take on the responsibility of a child that he had not fathered? It's a question that many people face today as we have blended families, taking on responsibilities of children that are not yours naturally. This interruption was not in their plans. It certainly wasn't in the plans of a devout Jewish teenager. And yet she accepted it when God spoke to her. And we know, of course, how Joseph responded. He didn't believe her. How could he? His plans were for a happy home and not a picket fence, because they wouldn't have had picket fences at the time. But his mind was thinking about that perfect relationship, a perfect family, the 2.4 or maybe even the 5 or 6 children in Jewish culture. He loved her and wanted the very best for her. And in a moment, through this interruption, his best laid plans were dashed and seemingly would come to nothing. His life, as well as hers, had been powerfully interrupted. No, it had not been powerfully interrupted. It had been divinely interrupted. And friends, if we are not careful, if we don't guard, our response to an interruption can send us down the wrong path. Joseph almost went down the wrong path. Joseph almost made a wrong decision. And when he discovered Mary's pregnancy, he was devastated. How could he possibly buy into such a story of a virgin conception? As much as he loved her and wanted to be with her, he felt that the only course of action lay open to him was that of divorce. And we need to understand, friends, that in the Jewish culture at the time, betrothal or engagement is very different to how we in the Western world understand it. A betrothal or an engagement was as good as being married, and the only way to annul it was through the process of divorce. In fact, Joseph had every right to have her stoned for her seeming infidelity. And interruptions, friends, can do that. It can make us believe that we have no choice, that there is only one course of action. Yet, because he was a good man, and the scripture tells us that Joseph was a just man, he was someone who wanted to do the right thing. He didn't want to harm or embarrass her. And so in his thinking, he resolved that he would divorce her privately or quietly so as not to draw attention. But this was Joseph's human response to a powerful or to a divine interruption. What a mistake that would have been had Joseph pursued what he had first thought about in his heart and in his natural thinking. You see, often interruptions in life can bring a knee-jerk reactions. The decisions that we make once we are better informed or have a better understanding of the picture can be totally different to the ones we make that out of a knee-jerk response. And friends, we need to be careful that when we face these interruptions of life, that we don't react according to our fears, anxieties, and feelings. In this season of pandemic, there are many people who are feeling and experiencing genuine fear and anxiety. And what I would say is, do not make any life-altering, any significant decisions during this season. Certainly do not make them out of fear or anxiety. The key, friends, to handling an interruption in life is to get God's take on it. That's the only way, that's the best way, is to get God's take on it. And many people are struggling because none of us would have believed that 8 months down the line, just leading up to Christmas, that we would still be in the situation that we are now. I, for one, thought that all of this might have been over maybe 2 months, a couple of months ago. Yet here we are coming, fast approaching Christmas, and there is no likelihood of anything changing in the near future. And thankfully, Jesus rescued Joseph from his error. I can imagine, like Joseph, that he lay awake at night, tossing and turning, playing through the different scenarios, the different options, the what ifs, and trying to work out a way through all of this situation, how to deal with Mary's situation. Some of you are doing that right now. This situation, this pandemic, the uncertainty, you're lying awake thinking about, what are you going to do? How are you going to come through this situation? But in the same way that God rescued Joseph, I want to say that God will rescue you when you turn to him. You see, it was whilst Joseph was sleeping that an angel appeared to him in a dream and saying, "Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. What she says is true. The child in her womb is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." And Joseph, having heard that, having had a divine encounter, woke with a different attitude and a changed mind. He realized that he couldn't divorce Mary. It wouldn't be the right thing to do, but that instead he would take her as his wife. He would help to raise this miraculous child because he had received God's perspective on the situation. And when we get God's perspective on our situation, it makes all the difference in the world. Whenever we encounter, friends, an interruption in life, whatever it might be, don't react according to what you feel, but instead go to God and seek his direction. Remember what it says in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. Let me give you just three words that will help you in terms of dealing with the interruptions of life. The first one is that of prayer. Sometimes we say when interruptions come into our life, well, all you can do is pray. Well, no, it's not all you can do. It's as much as you can do. Prayer is not a last resort. Prayer should always be, for the believer, for the student of Jesus, the first resort. I want to even go further and say that prayer is not an action or a moment, but actually prayer for the believer should be a lifestyle. When we have life's interruptions, we need to go to God in prayer in order that we might get his perspective. And that's the second word, is perspective. We need to put the interruption, get the interruption into a proper perspective. And the only right perspective is when we adopt and when we have God's perspective on things. When we have God's perspective, what a difference it makes. Let me tell you, the view that you get from on the ground is very different to the view that you get when you're in an aeroplane. The perspective is different, and we need to get God's perspective on the interruptions of our life. The third word is that of providence, and providence simply means foresight. It's the Latin word for foresight, and what that tells us is that it tells us that God in his providence doesn't just see in the moment, but God in his providence sees the past, he sees the present, but also he sees what is to come. And God makes his decisions and gives us our directions based out of his providence, not just based in the moment. And because of God's sovereignty and his providence, we can have absolute confidence in him, because he knows what's coming, he sees what's ahead of us, and he will direct us in the way that will work best for us and for our good. We can have absolute confidence in God. Matthew 10:30 reminds us that the hairs on our head are numbered. And it's important. Every word in scripture is God breathed, and it's there for a reason. And it tells us that the hairs on our head are numbered, not counted. And I believe it's there because of this, because if it said counted, the inference of that is that the person would have had to, in this case God, would have had to take time to count the hairs on our head in order that he might know how many hairs were there. But it says numbered, and what that tells us is that God knows us so well that he doesn't even have to count the hairs on our head. He knows how many are there, because he knows us that intimately and that well. And what a great comfort that is, to know that we have a God who in his providence works for our good. Hallelujah. You see, interruptions can have a positive effect, a redirection on our lives. And it was certainly true of Joseph and Mary. Their plans were interrupted. Their life seemingly wasn't going the way that they had seen. But what an interruption. Can you imagine, friends, a more powerful privilege or a more challenging responsibility than to be the human parents of the Son of God? What a privilege. What an interruption. The direction of their future took a completely different course. It wasn't what they had planned, but I want to say it was far better than anything that they could have imagined. And likewise, as a student of Jesus, the greatest interruption into my path of life was the day when I met Jesus. The day when he came into my life and he changed the direction and the course of my life. The Bible tells us that before we come to know Jesus, we are enemies of God. We are at war with him. We have no natural desire to want to know him. But it tells us that when we meet Jesus, when we allow him to interrupt our lives, when we meet Jesus, he changes our destiny. He changes our future. He changes us from being enemies to becoming friends of God. He changes our future from death into life. He changes our eternal standing, where we had an eternity destined to be separated from God. We have an eternity where we have the assurance that we will be in his presence. Hallelujah. When we allow Jesus to interrupt our lives, friends, he changes our lives and our future for the better. Hallelujah. And this morning, if you've never made the decision to allow Jesus to come into your life, I want to encourage you this morning to make that choice. Choose this day to allow Jesus into your life, and your life, friend, will never be the same. Your life, the course of your life, will be changed for the better. Have you ever considered that what Jesus has done for me and for countless others and for millions down through the ages and even today, have you ever considered that what he's done in my life, he can also do in yours? Hallelujah. And I'm not talking about the fact that he wants to make us the parents of his son. That's too much of a responsibility. It's probably a bridge too far. But he absolutely, certainly wants to make us sons and daughters and adopt us into his family. He wants to set our lives on a new path, on a new course, on a better path, where we can have the assurance and the hope of eternity. Hallelujah. In concluding then, let me just say, whatever the interruption is that you are facing at the moment, why not begin to look at it in a different light? Why not begin to get God's, or invite God to put his perspective on the matter? Why not ask God and say, God, what are you doing right now? What is it you want to do? What significant thing do you want to work in my life? What is it, Lord God, that you want me to learn in this season of interruption? And having asked those things, then begin to expect and begin to look for what God is going to and will do in your life. Whatever interruption, friends, you're experiencing this Christmas, there is certainly one thing that all of us can do. We can stop and give thanks to God for his son Jesus for coming into our world and making it possible for us to have relationship with God the Father, making it possible for our future destiny to be changed, and for us to enjoy life eternal even now. And as we praise God, even in the midst of our interruptions, even in the midst of these difficult circumstances, let me assure you, as we begin to praise God, we will begin to know with a fuller measure the hope, the joy, and the peace that this Christmas time brings and comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise God. Friends, have a blessed and a peaceful Christmas.